What's up, cuties? Today is going to be about the self-fulfilling prophecy. And I learned this from Norman Vincent Peale, who wrote The Power of Positive Thinking. So let's define self-fulfilling prophecy, the process in which we have a false expectation that leads to its own confirmation. So in a self-fulfilling prophecy, an individual's expectations about another person or entity eventually results in the other person acting in ways that confirms those expectations. In the book, The Power of Positive Thinking gives an example of the self-fulfilling prophecy. He talks about when you start a new job and on the first day of work, you think to yourself that you won't do a good job, or maybe that people won't like you, or you won't fit in, you don't have enough knowledge to do the job well, that you end up behaving in a way that matches those thoughts. And Joe Dispenza talks about, or Dr. Joe Dispenza always talks about the frequency where our thoughts match our energy, and our thoughts are what create our feelings, and our feelings are what create our habits or routines or actions or inactions, and that creates our energy or our vibe. So if you are thinking in this negative thought loop, then your feelings are going to match those thoughts, that frequency. And the last episode I talked about being in a rut because my energy is being matched with the thoughts that I've been thinking. Therefore, I have no energy to do anything. And because our bodies try to match our brain's vibrations, which means your behavior is going to match your feelings in a negative way. And our brains are accustomed to this negative confirmation bias anyways. And that's just an ancestral thing that we have. And that's where our brains store evidence of such outcomes as true and real. And then we attach the meaning of see, talking about the job, like, see, I knew I wouldn't fit in, or see, I knew I wouldn't be good at this job because I don't know how to do it well. And the more evidence that we store, the more times we believe these thoughts, the more we start believing in this negative thought loop. I just want to reiterate, it's not to say that you have to think positively all the time. There is something called hyperpositivity, because this is more about emotional maturity and growing and evolving into someone who understands emotions and understands how they can change the trajectory of their life in one decision. How you can shift your thoughts and achieve whatever results you want to achieve. And you become empowered when you then kick your primitive brain out of autopilot, and then you become the pilot of your life, or the driver of your life. So this is about your personal growth. And in order to do that, you need to understand the human experience, and you need to feel all the emotions. So the good, the bad, the ugly, the negative, the positive. And it's how you respond to the quote unquote negative parts of it. Are you actually feeling these feelings? Are you accepting why you're feeling this way? And then are you doing something to get out of those negative feelings, or processing it enough to let those feelings go? Because our bodies do hold on to past trauma and hold on to tension, and we may not be aware of where it's placed in the body or how it can come out at different times. But you are helping yourself by learning different personal development tools that help guide you and help you live, as cliche as it sounds, live your life to the fullest, and being able to reach those big and scary goals, being able to do the things that you want to do. Okay, anyways, that was kind of a tangent, but realizing and understanding your thought loops and patterns will help you recognize your habits and your habit loops. And this is how you start changing your behaviors and belief system, is by becoming aware of your thoughts and then becoming aware of how you feel when you think those thoughts, because again, our energy matches what's going on in our minds. And Norman goes on to state how to change outcomes. And he suggests you first start by visualizing your goals and think how achieving these goals will benefit you or impact your life. Then you visualize any obstacles and problems that you may face on the way to achieving this goal. So what are the hiccups that can come along when achieving this goal? And a lot of times that can be, I don't know, your kid gets sick, or what has happened in the past that kind of came up as a surprise to you, or what's something that you feel. So you are fearful of putting your face online talking about this subject. Like, that is an obstacle. That fear is going to prohibit you from reaching your goal if you don't make a plan to overcome that. So you visualize the obstacles and problems that you may face on the way to achieving this goal. So you are planning ahead of time. And Charles Duhigg, who wrote The Power of Habits, talks about planning ahead of time, which is just essentially making a plan to overcome those obstacles or those problems in order to change your routine or your behavior. So you are planning ahead of time. If my kid gets sick, but I have to do this in my business that day, how can you be there for both? Or what can you, do you have a backup of a day planned where you do more, I don't know, just CEO work versus you have to create this reel or this podcast or whatever it is? Are you creating content ahead of time, or are you just doing it on the whim? So getting clear about what you want to achieve, but also writing down some obstacles that can come up, and then you make a plan for those. So when we start to visualize our positive outcomes, it not only opens our brains up to the act of possibility, but we are mentally contrasting our lives. And I first learned about visualization when I took sports psychology in college. I have a psychology degree, and I took sports psychology because I went to college to play D1 soccer too, and I thought this would be a fairly easy class because I was a psychology major and played sports. But, and also one of my favorite professors was teaching it. Anyways, so, and I just loved learning about the brain and why people do the things that they do. And I also took psychology because I have a fascination with serial killers. Not that I'm a true crime junkie. I love learning about the psychology behind serial killers. And I did like a whole thing on Jeffrey Dahmer when I was a senior. Anyways, so the professor asked me to do a visualization project that dealt with rugby. He was also the coach for the rugby, for the women's rugby team in college. And he was trying to get me to play rugby because I quit soccer. Anyways, so he came out to the field, the soccer field with me, and he brought the, I don't know what they're called, but he brought the rugby ball out, and he told me to close my eyes. Well, actually, I think we started off with just kicking the ball over the field goal post. You set it up, we set it up like a football. I don't know if that's actually how it's done, but that's what we did. So I started kicking it over the field goal, and which kicking a rugby ball is definitely different than kicking a football. My ankle hurt so bad afterwards. But after I did that a couple of times and I missed some, I made some, he told me to close my eyes and visualize myself successfully kicking the ball over the field goal. And I did this like 100 times at different angles and at different distances. We had calculated my success rate of when I visualized myself kicking the ball over the field goal and the times when I didn't visualize that. I definitely do not remember the statistics of this experiment because that was well over a decade ago, but I still use the tactic of visualization to this day in sports. And that's why, I think that's why I approach the field in a calmer manner than I did in the past, because the night before, well, when I know a tournament's coming up, then I think about it more often, but I sit there and I visualize, okay, if I pick up the ball This is how I pick up the ball. This is what I can do with it. I know where my teammates should be, and I can do an easy pass in that direction, or I know how to hit from the left side, so I can run that way and then run that way and then make a point, make a goal, whatever. And I go through different scenarios like that in my head. And I know I always say that I get nervous before a game, which I do, but it's as soon as, I think it's just because I don't know what to expect, although I am prepared to play the game, if that makes sense. Practicing visualization helps me even in my business and in my relationships and in the way that I communicate. A lot of times I will go over like a scenario in my head and practice it. And then when that comes up, especially with confrontation with me, I kind of know a couple of things I can say, which makes me feel better about a situation. And just like taking jiu-jitsu, I am getting a lot of muscle memory. And so I can visualize if this scenario happened, this is what I can do. If this scenario happened, I can do this. So it just helps prepare not only my mind, but also my nervous system when if that scenario comes true or not. I can be somewhat prepared instead of being blindsided by it. But you can start to visualize your best self in the best case scenario, but also you can plan ahead of time for when things don't go according to your plan. And you can visualize and plan what you will do if someone crosses a boundary, or if someone almost hits you while you're driving, or if somebody randomly starts yelling at you, or if you end up missing a flight because you were late to the airport, you can kind of plan through those obstacles in order to have some awareness and knowledge of how you could show up in those worst case scenarios. So you aren't overreacting, or you aren't reacting in a way that like your fight or flight, your flight response isn't taking over when it should be fight response. And Norman states that, quote, your attitude determines your entire life, end quote. And I believe that's true because, again, our body and brain like to be on the same frequency. And when those are out of alignment, then there's definitely a disconnect there. But a lot of times, like if you're in this negative thought loop, you're going to feel in a negative way. You're going to have negative outcomes. If you're in a more positive, like let's get shit done mindset, then your body is going to respond to that, and then you're gonna, it's like all of a sudden you just have more energy and you end up doing more, and then you're like, man, I feel really good, how can I keep this going? And then that kind of snowballs into you doing more things and then achieving goals and then setting more goals and then kind of repeating that pattern. And your attitude is determined by your mindset, and your mindset is based on the thoughts you have and how you process your emotions and what your habits are. And changing your mindset is like having a gym membership. The more you work out with a plan and intention, the more results you're not only going to see with your body, but also how you feel about yourself will change. And the more you practice and implement tools and resources in your life for personal development reasons, the more your mindset will start to change, and the more your thoughts shift, and the better you'll get at processing your emotions and learning to respond instead of react, and the more healthy habits you will create and develop, and then you will learn to create bigger and better results in your life. And just like with working out, changing your mindset is not an overnight process. However, the more aware you become and the more you practice these tools and resources, the more that you are going to show up for yourself, the more that you trust yourself, the more that you believe in yourself, the easier it will get, and the greater your mind will become in the long run, and the greater your life will get, because ultimately you're going to start achieving the things that you want to achieve. And there are two main mindset types. So you have a fixed mindset, and this is when you do not have belief that your abilities or character or traits can change, which means you have a more closed mind, which means you aren't open for change, and you often avoid challenges, or you give up easily when obstacles arise because, again, you aren't planning ahead of time Maybe you don't know how. Maybe you haven't been taught that. Or you can develop learned helplessness. A lot of times you don't see anything that will give you a better life. Then you get stuck in this victim-based mentality, which is just always being a victim of something or blaming others for your problems and not taking responsibility for your own thoughts and your own actions. And so you rely on others to fix you or fix your situation, and therefore you are not trusting yourself or you aren't believing in yourself or what you're capable of. Then you have the growth mindset, in which helps you develop belief and self-trust, and you are more open-minded, which means that you are more acceptable to, which means you are more acceptable to change, and you look for ways to be constantly improving. And you do not develop learned helplessness. Instead, you ask questions, you get curious, you solve problems efficiently, you understand that failing does equal success, because with every success has come with failures. And then you just keep trying and you learn that I haven't done this thing yet. I haven't met this goal yet. So then you stop and you pause and you evaluate and you say, well, this isn't working for me. Well, this has worked for me, so let me try that. Which means you don't quit it easily and you embrace challenges as opportunities and you have a plan for your obstacles. And you can develop a strong growth mindset when using what I've talked about before, the model. And you can go from your current thinking and behaviors to who you want to be in the future. And the model is based on, if you haven't listened to that podcast, but it's based on cognitive psychology. And Pavlov has done a study on it. And I read it in a financial book that your thoughts create your feelings create your actions create your results. And then Brooke Castillo, who's a life coach, broke it down into an easy way to digest and to use in your everyday. So that's what I like to use. That's what made it easy for me to get this personal development going. In doing the model, that helps you become aware of what your current thought patterns are and why you feel the way you feel about your current results that you have in your life. And then you learn kind of how to bridge the gap of going from where you currently are to where you want to be. And the model can help identify what some of your limiting beliefs are, how you can get out of your comfort zone. It helps you break down certain identities that you are still holding on to, like your past identities. And it helps shift the focus of external things that are controlling your life, and it focuses on the inner work that you need to develop in order to be the person who leads your life. And that's the idea behind the self-fulfilling prophecy, is where you think and you feel one way about something, and then your energy matches that frequency and that vibration, and then the thing that you're thinking and feeling ends up becoming true. And then you aren't aware of the downfall that could have when you aren't aware of your thoughts, and when you aren't aware of how you can change your thoughts and how you can improve your feelings, and taking different actions or just taking action in general can help propel you to where you want to go in your life. And that's what's so great about having a coach or a mentor, because they can help you see an obstacle or a limiting belief, or help you change a recurring negative thought that you have about yourself, which then allows you to, we can't change what we aren't aware of. So when we hear something that you have low confidence because you believe this thought about yourself, then you can break down and unpack why you're believing this thought. And so once you're aware of that, then you can start the process of change, which I think is really fun to do. Not saying that it's easy, but it can be fun, because then when you get into learning about yourself and reconnecting with yourself, and you learn to love yourself and trust yourself and believe in the things that you want to achieve, then your life just becomes amazing. And then you're filled with so much more gratitude. And just for me, and I'm speaking about my experience, I'm just filled with more calmness, and I'm not stressing out over every little thing. I'm not bottling up my emotions, and then something happens, and then they just explode, and I'm like freaking out. And I feel more empowered now than I've ever felt in my life. And I'm choosing to do what I want to do in my life. And I'm showing up as, most of the time, as who I want to show up as. And when I'm not, I can see what isn't aligning and where the disconnect is, which then helps me overcome what I need to overcome in order to get to where I want to go. And so that's my hope for you, is to just learn how to reconnect with yourself and learn to be self-aware, so then you can become emotionally mature and you just get curious and you ask yourself questions and you challenge your thoughts and your beliefs. And is this belief serving who I want to be in the future? If it's not, what do I want to believe? My last episode was about being in a rut, and it's like how to get out of a rut, and learning this and practicing self-development and self-awareness will help you get out, and it'll help you take action to live the life that you want to live. Also, if you liked this episode, I just took a section from my course, Cue the New You. And so these are things that you will learn, and I go into even more detail within the course. And if you have not heard of Cue the New You, it's a 6-week holistic course that goes over mental, physical, and emotional health and well-being, and helps you become aware of how the brain works and how autopilot works and how to use your prefrontal cortex versus your primitive brain and how to visualize for your future and how to plan according to your obstacles or problems that arise, how to challenge your beliefs. I teach you about thought ladders and how to break the negative thought patterns that you have, how to develop healthier habits, and how to create routines. And I go over all of that, and especially the brain-body connection. So when our nervous system, parasympathetic nervous system, come into play, what that feels like in the body, what things that you can do to help heal and help connect with your nervous system, which has led me to not be as anxious as I once was. It has led me to not be depressed like I once was. It has helped me to build a healthier relationship between my body, myself, and food, which that was toxic for so long. So everything in the course is things that I have used that have tremendously improved my life, and I know that it will improve your life, and it's exciting to me to share all of the things with you. So anyways, so that's from my 6-week holistic course, Cue the New You. And if you're interested in enrolling in that, or if you have any questions, then you can always DM me on Instagram or on TikTok, both at Merritt Rollins Brown. And yeah, I will wrap this up, and I will talk to y'all next week. Okay, bye.